Good morning, New Hope. How's the 10 o'clock service? All right. Hey, well, if you're new here, I just want to welcome all of you at our various locations. And I'm excited that we're launching this new series called Let It Go. Today, we're going to talk about how do you let go of negative thoughts. And, you know, we all get negative thoughts from time to time. It's just a part of life. And it especially happens when you're having problems in life. This week, I came across some images of people who are having problems. And I'll show you these pictures. Here, the first is a video of a girl who's on a farm, and she wants to post a video of herself onto social media. And it's kind of like one of those, hey, look at me, I'm having so much fun type videos, like a boomerang video. And so here's what happens. Take a look. So the sheep just wasn't having it right there. All right. This next one is a girl who's trying to get attention from a cat. So, yeah. And, you know, that's just a typical response for a cat because cats are prideful. And, folks, that's why cats will not be in heaven right there. That's right there. I'm just kidding, cat lovers. It's a joke. Okay, this next one is a picture of a guy who's trying to do a U-turn on a freeway, but the concrete hadn't quite set yet. The next time you think you're having a bad day on the freeway, just think about this guy. Your problems, it could be worse. All right, here's a lady who's trying to get off of a bus, and the door prematurely shut on her head, and she wasn't injured, but you think you're having a bad day? Just remember that right there. Okay, this next one is a guy, it's a kid who's playing with his dad, and he's like, Dad, I want you to toss the water balloons on me. So they're having fun, Dad's tossing the water balloons, they're breaking on his son, and he goes, Dad, go higher, so Dad goes up a little bit higher and drops it, and bam! Okay, the kid wasn't injured, but you know Dad was enjoying this. He's like, that's for all the times you didn't clean up your room. Bam! So, problems are a part of life. Can we? Oh, yeah, here's a guy doing a long jump right there and didn't quite make it. So, I know you guys are like cringing. So, the next time you're having a bad day, just remember, it could be worse. And so when we have problems in life, there are different thoughts that come to mind. There are different emotions that start to swirl in our mind. So when you're going through struggles and problems, what are some of the thoughts that you have, the negative thoughts? Here are some of the ones I can have. Sometimes we feel worry and stress about all we have to get done, and we don't feel like we have enough time to do it. Sometimes we have thoughts of guilt and regret because we didn't spend enough time with somebody, or we didn't finish school, or we didn't do this, or we fell into temptation, and so we feel guilt and shame, and those thoughts just swirl in our mind like a toxic stew. Sometimes we feel anger and resentment from relationship struggles with people we live with and people we work with. And sometimes when we go through the losses of life, somebody passes away or a relationship that we really enjoyed ends, we can experience loneliness and sadness. And then, you know, the reality is relationship issues are a part of life and struggles and injustices are part of life. And we can struggle with negative thoughts of resentment. Now, I want you to think about yourself. If you have 10% worries in your mind, you got 5% temptations, you got a little bit of guilt, let's say, you know, 10% or so. Let's say that you get discouraged and disappointed, so you're having 12% sadness, and you're really struggling with that person that irritates you so much, you're having 30% resentments, and then, you're a parent, you got kids, or you're struggling with just whatever's going wrong in life, you got anger. A little bit of all of these emotions takes up the majority of our thoughts. It all adds up. If our mind is like a container and you're filled with a little bit of all of this, there's no room for God's peace. There's no room for God's forgiveness when we're struggling with this. There's no room for the fruits of the Holy Spirit in Galatians chapter 5, of thoughts of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control. We don't have time for that unless we empty out the negative, unless we let go of these negative thoughts. You know, some people are just like, why don't I have more of God's peace? Why don't I have more of his happiness? Because your container, my container, can get filled with negative thoughts. And living with a little bit of all of these thoughts can really do a lot of wear and tear on our bodies. You know, science tells us if you have a lot of stress and worry in your life, that can actually shorten your life. And scientists have been talking about for years how guilt, resentment, stress, all of these things can affect your physical health. And these scientists are just saying what the Bible said thousands of years ago. Take a look at what Proverbs 14:30 says. It says, a relaxed attitude lengthens, say it with me, it lengthens your life. If you're living with more of God's peace and more of His joy, then that's actually going to affect you positively with your health. But on the other hand, if you live with jealousy, bitterness, and resentment, that's going to rot your health away. And so it's so important for us to learn to let go of our negative emotions. I was talking to a woman in our lobby a while back, and she's in her 90s, and she's, I'm telling you, she's always full of joy, always full of peace. She has a lot of faith, and her mind is as sharp as can be, and she's in her mid to late 90s. And I said to her, you're such a joyful person. Like, what's your secret to all your joy and peace? And she looked at me, and she said, you know, I've just learned to let go of the negative. And she said, and you know, I laugh a lot at things. And I was like, man, that's what the Bible says in Proverbs. A merry heart is like good medicine, you know? And then she grabbed my arm and she said, and you know what? I was like, what? She said, I really try to make it a priority to come to church every week. I said, oh, why do you do that? She's like, because it helps me with my thought life. It has helped me so much in changing my thinking. And I thought, makes total sense. You know, when I see her, I often pray, God, when I'm her age, I pray that I have her joy and her peace, that I am letting go of the negative, and that I'm close to you like she is when I'm her age. Because I don't want to get old, folks, and be grumpy and grouchy, you know? Because you can get that way. Any of us can if we're not careful. And so how do we let go of the negative? How do we let go of toxic thoughts? Well, God knows, catch this, God knows that there's a battle between your ears, this battle in our mind. In fact, the Bible says that every single day, you and I will have a battle between our old sinful nature and God's spirit, God's ways. Every day, our old nature and God's spirit are at battle in our minds. And that's why we have negative thoughts, even if we've been Christians for years. That's why we sometimes do things we know we shouldn't do, because we have that battle in our brains. So here's a question. How do we empty the container? How do we let go of the negative? How do we fight this battle in our minds? I'm going to give you three processes that God gives, and I'm telling you, when you do these biblical steps, it will help you let go of the negative. It'll help you to have more of God's joy, more of His peace, more of His love, and so on. So what are they? Here are the processes. I highly encourage you to take notes, because some of you are like, oh, my life's going pretty good. I don't have anything negative going on. Well, listen, you might get cut off on the way home, and you're going to have a lot of negative thoughts. So write down these three steps. I think you'll find them helpful. Number one, next time you have negative thoughts, we need to be, say it with me out loud, we need to be praying. Praying. So question, when you have negative thoughts and you want to process them, who's the first person you process those problems with? Many people, even myself, the first person that we want to process with is somebody close to us, and we like call them up and grumble to them about what we're going through. Isn't that right? But what God says is instead of going to the phone, go to the throne and talk to God about what is on your mind that's making you feel negative. Process your negative thoughts with God first. Now, the Bible has a word for this type of praying. Do you know what it is? It's called, say it with me, lamenting. Can I get a water when you guys get a chance? Now, what is lamenting? This word literally means complaining. It's where you pray to God, you complain to God. Now, there's actually an entire book in the Bible called Lamentations. It's written by the prophet Jeremiah, and the book is basically a bunch of times where Jeremiah is talking to God about how his life sucks. He's praying. He's lamenting. As you study the great saints in the Bible, you'll find that David, Abraham, Jeremiah, Moses, Elijah, Isaiah, many more, they processed their negative thoughts with God. They dumped their thoughts on Him. In fact, I'll show you one here in the book of Psalms. Now, let me tell you about the book of Psalms. It's in the Old Testament, and there's 150 Psalms. And a lot of people think that every psalm is about praise and thanksgiving, but that's not true. There's actually a few that are about praise and thanksgiving, but the largest category of psalms in the Old Testament are called the Psalms of Complaint, the prayers of lamenting, where people are going to God and they're grumbling. In fact, let me show you one from King David. Take a look at this one. And as I show you this prayer of complaint, some of you, as I read these words, you're going to go, Dave, that's exactly how I feel. Look at how David prayed to God. And just look at the emotion. Look how real and raw he is. He's like, how long, Lord, will you forget me? Forever? You ever feel like God's not listening to you? That God has forgotten you? How long are you going to look the other way, God? How long must I struggle with anguish in my soul and with sorrow in my heart? Every day I'm sad, I'm discouraged, I'm disappointed. How long will my enemy have the upper hand, God? Turn. You turn and answer me, my God. Now, this is why people love the Psalms, because they're real. Because God is saying, you process with me your negative thoughts. Now, look at how after David dumps his negative thoughts with God and processes them with him, look at how it shifts. He's now emptying out the negative, and look at how he shifts. He says this. Read it with me out loud. He says, I trust in your unfailing love. My life sucks, but I trust you. I trust in your unfailing love, God. And now he's shifting from complaining to praying in faith. That is a first step to letting go of the negative. Now, let me say this, very important. Don't tune out on this one. There is a right way to complain to God, and there is a wrong way to complain to God. Let me give you an example. Moses, he complained to God, and God answered. The people of Israel complained about God, and they got stuck in the desert for 40 years. Okay? So let me say it this way. You may want to write this down. Complaining to God is an act of worship. Complaining about God is, say it with me, it's rebellion. So here's what you may want to remember the next time you're complaining to God. You want to complain to God about your negative stuff, your struggles, but don't complain about God. Okay? Now you can tell him, Lord, I'm finding it really difficult what you're allowing me to go through, but you don't want to sit there going around grumbling about him, because that can get you really stuck. So, let's talk about how to lament. So this week, next time you have negative thoughts, here's what you do. The first thing you do is, don't go to the phone, go to the throne. And you just start talking to God. You tell him what you are frustrated about. You tell him what you're sad about. You tell him what you think is unfair, what is painful to you, what's frustrating. And you just unload. You just, you know, if you're having problems at work, you're like, God, this job is driving me crazy. This coworker, it's not, oh man, they're so irritating, God. They frustrate me sometimes. I just feel like punching them. And some of you may go, oh, you can't pray like that. But as you read the Psalms, you know what David prayed? He said, God, kick my enemies in the teeth. I read that, I was like, hallelujah. You just get, it's not like God doesn't know your thoughts anyhow. If you want to punch somebody, it's not like he doesn't know. Right? He knows all your thoughts, but he wants you to process them, because it's in the process of unloading that you're starting to let go. Now watch this. And when you're praying, where does your focus shift? You start with your problems, and then you're shifting to God. And when you get your focus off of your problems, onto the one who can help you with your problems, then you're able to start to let go of those emotions. So you complain to God, but listen, don't stop there. Then you need to start praying in faith. And so you just say, God, regardless of what happens in this situation, I thank you that your strength is going to help me get through what I'm going through. God, regardless of these financial struggles, I thank you that you're Jehovah Jireh. You're my provider. You've promised to meet all my needs in Christ Jesus. Thank you, God. I'm holding on to that promise. God, I don't know the resolutions to these challenges. I don't know what's going to happen, but God, I know you're bigger than them. God, I know you're going to help me through this. And you see, when you start praying this way, what starts to happen? You're shifting from your problems to faith. And all of a sudden, when faith starts to rise, the Bible says, according to your faith, God's power is released. So all of a sudden, you start activating more of God's power in your life being released. Does that make sense? And so prayer is the first step, letting go of negative thoughts. And this is why I want to encourage all of us to consider joining us in our churchwide 3-day fast that's coming up January 27th through 30th. We've been doing this for years. And the Bible says this, that there's some things in your life that will not change in 2019 until you fast and you pray. There are some problems in your life that solutions will not happen until you fast and pray. We see that throughout Scripture. And so I want to encourage you to join us in this because ever since our church started doing this churchwide fast, when you get thousands of people praying and they're fasting, oh man, God's power gets released into the new year. I've had more breakthroughs in my life since we started doing this than before. Why? Because prayer changes things and fasting does as well. And so I want to encourage you to think about, what are you going to fast? What are you going to pray about? What are you going to give up for 3 days? And every biblical fast included eliminating food. So I want to encourage you to think, what foods am I not going to eat? Now, I know what some of you are thinking. I know what foods I'm going to fast for 3 days. Dave, I'm going to fast vegetables, you know? I'm down for that. But no. You want to think through what foods that you'll fast. And then think through, what are you going to pray about for 3 days? And I think you're going to see some awesome things happen in this new year. Amen? All right. Anybody still listening to me right now? Okay, I'm just kidding. Let's get into the second step. So the first step is praying. The next step, if you want to let go of the negative, is this. Everybody say it with me out loud, all of our locations. We got to focus on God's promises. Awesome. Now, the Bible is filled with thousands of promises from God, where God says this, I promise to do this in your life. Now, some of the promises have a premise, which means God says, you do this, then I'll do that. You do this, I'll do that. But some of them are just promises. And so one of the keys after you're praying is you now need to start holding on to one of God's promises. I'll give you an example. So a few weeks ago, I was having my day off, and I was filled with joy and peace, faith. I was hanging out with a friend, having a great time, and I got a phone call. And without getting to the details of the phone call, I can just tell you it was a disturbing phone call. It was a person informing me of a major problem that would affect me. It would affect a lot of people. And immediately, all my joy and peace and faith was just whoosh, gone. And my container, my mind was filled with worry, with discouragement, with frustration, with questions of what do I do? And the first thing I wanted to do is I wanted to text my wife or call my wife, Lisa, and ask her to pray for me. But then I remembered, when you have negative thoughts, don't go to the phone, go to the throne. So I was with my friend. I started praying in my mind because my friend didn't know about what the phone call was about. I just started praying to God. And I was like, God, oh man, this is a big one. Whoa. I'm worried. I'm stressing. I'm discouraged. I think it's unfair. This is huge, God. And I was just like worrying. And as I'm unloading my negative thoughts, they were starting to empty a little bit out of my mind. But they were not gone. And then I felt like God say, I want you to call the person back and offer a solution. And I thought, well, I haven't thought of that solution. That I don't know if that'll work, but okay. Maybe that was God talking to me. I think it was. It sure felt like him. So I called the person back and I said, hey, here's a possible solution to the problem. What do you think? And this person said, well, I honestly don't think that will be accepted by this group, and I don't think that they'll embrace this resolution, but I'll present it. And so I hung up the phone. My problem was not resolved, and now I am once again filled with worry, filled with discouragement, filled with stress. About 15 seconds later, God brings a scripture to my mind that I memorized years ago when I was going through a difficult season. And God was speaking these words to me, and I'm going to show you this promise. And I want, there are many of you here, as I was praying this week, many of you, God, I felt like God say, listen, I'm speaking this to not, it wasn't just for Dave, it's for many of you here. So please pay attention to this. Isaiah 41:10, here's what God said. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, that means discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, and I'm going to help you. I'm going to uphold you with my righteous right hand. Now, when I first heard this promise in my mind, I was like, oh, whew. And the negative starts to empty out of my mind. And then, I'm not kidding, 15 seconds later, I totally forgot that God told me this verse. I was so worried. I was so focused on the problem. I just started filling up with worry and discouragement again. And so what did God do? 15 seconds later, it's like he tapped on my shoulder and said, hello, what did I just say to you? He brings this verse to my mind again. It's like, pay attention, son. What did I just say to you? He said, Dave, I told you, do not fear. I'm commanding you to stop stressing. Why, son? Because I'm with you. Don't be discouraged, Dave. I'm your God. I'm God Almighty. I'm God All-Powerful. I've taken care of you your whole life. I will take care of you again. I'm going to strengthen you in this, son. I'm not only going to strengthen you, I'm going to help you. You're going to get through what's going to happen. I'm going to uphold you, Dave. You're not going to fall. I'm going to uphold you with my righteous right hand. That's what's going to happen. That's what I promised to do, son. And I'm like, whew, that's encouraging. And I said, I need to start focusing on this promise instead of focusing on my problems. And for the next 15 minutes, I just kept reviewing this. And I was like, okay, God, you've instructed me. You're commanding me. Don't fear. So I'm refusing to continue to worry about this because you're with me, God. You're promising to strengthen me and help me through this. You're so powerful. You're a God of miracles. Thank you. And I'm not going to be discouraged. You're going to be with me each and every step of the way. Thank you, God. You're going to hold me up through it. I praise you, God. And I'm telling you, no exaggeration, within 15 minutes, all of my joy, all of my peace and faith was restored. And the rest of my day, I had an awesome day off when I should not, considering the circumstances. I guess that doesn't really excite you as much as that excited me. Now, here's what I've learned, and here's what's important. Catch this. My prayers may not always change my circumstances, but read this with me out loud. But my prayers and my focus on God's promises always change me. You start praying, you start focusing on God's promises, and I'm telling you, you start meditating and thinking about those verses. Meditating just means you're thinking about it over and over and over. You're replacing your negative thoughts with God's thoughts. And you keep doing that, you're going to be able to let go of the negative more and more and more. So for the next 2 weeks, there were a few times when the worry started to seep back into my mind, and then I would just quickly go to this. No, I'm not going to get discouraged. I'm not going to worry about this. God, you've promised you're going to help me. I'm choosing to trust you to get me through what I'm going through. The peace would just come right back. It's powerful. Well, 2 weeks later, I got a phone call, and the suggestion that I felt God have me, tell them over the phone, they actually accepted that suggestion and the problem got resolved. And praise God for that, right? Like, that's great. But here's what I want you to catch. But for 2 weeks, I was emptied out the negative. Before I got that news, it was all bad news. But the prayers and his promises help me let go of the negative. So your circumstances don't have to change for you to let go of the negative. And so, how do we hear God speak his promises to us? How do we do that? Well, we got to spend time with him. We got to spend time with him daily. And I want you to see this verse. So by show of hands, all of our locations, how many of you by show of hands would like to have a little more happiness in your life in 2019? More happiness? Lift your hands up. Me too. Look at this promise from God. Proverbs 8:34. God says, blessed is the man who listens to me, watching, say it with me, daily at my doors, waiting at my doorway. Now this word blessed in the Hebrew, it literally means happy. God says, you want to be happier in 2019? Yep. Here's what you need to do. You need to listen to me. How? By meeting with me daily. Meeting with me, waiting on me, spending time with me. Now here's the cool thing about God. You don't have to spend hours alone with God every day. Now, if you've got time for that, praise God, do it. But if he wants 5 minutes of your time, 10, 15 minutes, you just carve out some time where you get alone with him. And what do? I encourage you to sit down and get quiet. And then just start processing your day with God. Start sharing with him your frustrations. You can thank him. You can just talk to him like a friend. You know why? Because he is your friend. He's not only your friend, he's your father, your heavenly father. And so you talk story with him. And then you sit and you listen. And sometimes he'll speak to your mind about things. And then a lot of times, in fact, the number one way he's going to speak to you is through these written words that are written to you. It's called God's Word. I think we should call it God's Words. It's God's words to you. Now listen, these words are alive and active. The Greek word for these words are energos. It's where we get the word energy. And Jesus said, catch this, he said, I am the Word. So when you read these words, you are spending time with Jesus because he is the Word. That's why you can read this and not have a clue about what just happened, but at the end you're like, I kind of feel a little bit better. Why? Because you just spent time with Jesus. He is the Word. So I want to encourage you to do this year, if you're not already doing this, is carve out 5 minutes for him, 10 minutes a day. Spend time daily with him, and you're going to have more happiness. Now, let me give you a simple way you can do this. I've used this for years, and it's awesome. Many of you have this, is download this free Bible app. It's called YouVersion. You can get it on your devices, your computer. It's free. And what's great about this is I know what some of you are thinking. You're thinking, I don't have time to sit down for 5 minutes, Dave. My life is so busy. Here's what you can do. You can actually have the Bible read to you while you're driving to work. And there's commentaries that can explain the difficult passages. And there's even videos for those of us who love YouTube. Come on. There's videos that can inspire you and encourage you and explain certain portions of it. And it's all free, baby. Free 99. And so I want to encourage you, just say, okay, this year I'm going to spend more time with God. I'm going to listen to him. And here's what God will do. Don't miss this. When you're reading through these pages, you're going to have some mornings or evenings or afternoons when you read this and you're like, that is exactly what I needed to hear. You'll have times where God's literally speaking a verse to you like he was to me, where he's saying, that's a verse for you. I'm speaking those exact words to you, my daughter, you, my son. And when that happens, you write that down in your phone or in your journal, and you meditate on that. You think about it. He's giving you a promise to hold on to so that you can replace your negative thoughts with his thoughts. You guys getting it? Okay. This is how you hear him speak. You pick up the phone. How's it? I like kill my spouse. Help. He's like, she like kill you too. All right, so super important. So let's get in God's Word this year, 2019. All right. Okay, now, so we need to be praying. We need to be holding on to some of God's promises and have all that happening. And then here's the third step, super important one. Don't skip this one. Is we need to be doing this. Say this loud, all of our locations. We need to be praising God. Praising God. Look at how often God wants us to praise him. Psalm 34 says, I will praise the Lord at sometimes. Oh, he doesn't say that. I will praise the Lord when things are going well in my life. Well, it doesn't say that. It says, I will praise the Lord at all times. I will constantly speak his praises. Now, I read that and I'm like, okay, I'm not doing that. I do it some. I don't do it all the time. You can feel really guilty when you read this. So let's see what the word praise actually means. Okay, so let's look at the three common words for praise in the Hebrew. The first word is yada. And this word means, praising God means to confess. Did you know that when you confess your sin to God, you're actually praising him? Isn't that cool? Or you give thanks to God. When you're thanking God, that's a form of praise. There's another Hebrew word for praise, it's zamar, and it means to sing praise. And this is why we sing praises before our service starts, because we want to praise God. We want to get our focus off of our worries and the world and get our focus on the one who can help us with that. We praise God through singing. This, by the way, folks, is why it's so important to show up to church on time. This is why it's so important, folks, to show up to church on time. This is why it's so important to show up to church on time. All right. And the next word is halal. It's the root word where we get hallelujah. And this means to celebrate and to cheer loudly. Okay, so what happens if you go to a sports game? Let's say you go to a football game and your team scores a touchdown. What do people do? Yahoo! Woo-hoo! Hands go up. Yeah! Cheering loudly. They are praising. We were made to praise. They're not praising God. They're praising their team. And so they're praising. You know how to praise. You can be a totally quiet person, and you know how to cheer loudly. It's hardwired in you. This is why sometimes when people are singing here on Sundays, you see their hands go up. Sometimes those hands are like, God, I praise you. Thank you. Sometimes their hands are going up going, oh, God, help me. Sometimes their hands are going up, God, I surrender, like being pulled over by a police officer. I surrender. I surrender all to you, God. I need you. We are lifting holy hands up to God. Listen, if you ever feel like lifting your hands up in worship, do it. Don't sit there and be like, oh, I like lift my hands. No, I cannot be a hand raiser. Ooh, that's like hardcore. That's how I felt when I remember I was a Christian, like after a year and a half of going to church, I was with Lisa and this song comes on and I'm like, oh no, I want to lift my hands. I was like, no, I'm going to become a weirdo. No, I was like, oh, I am not lifting my hands. And then the next Sunday, same thing. No. And then finally, like, whatever. I was like, you're so awesome. Man, we need to get that way, folks. We need to be more concerned about what God thinks, not what other people think. Amen? All right. So let's summarize. Here's how you praise God. Here's how you empty the negative. Sometimes you need to confess sin. That's a great way to empty guilt and regret and shame. Sometimes we need to sing. Man, folks, let's turn our cars into praise centers. Let's not just worship God on Sundays with music. Let's turn our car into that, you know? You're driving down, have your way. Now, don't close your eyes if you're driving, but fall. Sometimes I do this. I'm driving, and I'm like totally getting into it, and I'm like, fall. I lift my hand up. One time somebody drove by, and they're like, you need something? I was like, oh, no, sorry. But let's turn our cars and our homes. Let's get it filled with the praises of God. Amen? Amen. All right. That was a little amen. And then let's celebrate what God's done in the past, what he's going to do in the future. Let's pray in faith, and let's thank God. And I'm telling you, when you start praising, it shifts your focus. This changes you. This is why you need more than just praying. You need more than a promise. You got to praise God. I can't tell you how many times me and my wife will sing a song in the morning, and it shifts my thinking from stress to peace. I can't tell you how many times I've come to church, and I was all stressed about something, and then I start worshiping with all of you and our amazing worship team, and by the third song, I'm just filled with God's Spirit. I'm like, God, we got this. So glad I came today.
Well, you have to come. You're the pastor.
I know, but I'm still glad I came. All right. Now, this one I want to focus on for a second. So this one's really helped me let go of the negative. And I'm going to give you a phrase for how you can move from grumbling to gratitude, from venting your problems to praising God, thanking Him. Here's how you do it. You may want to write this down. I've shared this before, but it's so helpful. Is when you're having a problem, you focus on what's right, not what's wrong. See, this is not natural for us to do. Our sinful nature wants to focus on what's wrong, not what's right. Tomorrow, when you go to work, your old nature, my old nature, will want to focus more on what's wrong at work than what's right. When you go home today, your old nature finds it much easier to focus on what's wrong rather than what's right. So you have to be real intentional. Say, God, help me. I'm choosing with your strength and power to focus on what's right, not what's wrong. A middle-aged man named Nicholas came to his pastor, and he was really down and discouraged. And he says to his pastor, nothing's going right with my life. I mean, I have so many problems. I'm so upset. And the pastor said, all right, well, have a seat. And the pastor grabbed a sheet of white paper. He drew a line down the middle. And on the left side of the paper, he wrote the word right. And on the right side of the column, he wrote the word wrong. And he said, let's talk about what's going right and wrong in your life. So let's start with what's going right. And Nicholas said, nothing right going with my life. And the pastor said, oh, okay. And then the pastor said, hey, Nicholas, I'm so sorry to hear that your wife passed away. Nicholas goes, what are you talking about? My wife didn't pass away. I have a healthy wife. He's like, oh. He wrote down under the right column, healthy wife. And then he said, all right, well, let's go through this. All right, Nicholas, I'm so sorry to hear that your house went into foreclosure. Nick's like, what are you talking about? My house didn't go into foreclosure. I got a house. And he's like, oh, sorry. And he wrote down under the right column, he wrote, place to live. And he said, hey, Nick, before we get into the rest of this, he said, sorry to hear you got laid off from your job. He's like, Pastor, where are you coming up with all this? I didn't get laid off from my job. I have a decent, good job. He's like, oh, I'm sorry. The pastor wrote down under the right column, good job. Now Nicholas is starting to catch on. He's like, all right, hand me that sheet. Nicholas grabbed the sheet. And now, because he shifted from what was wrong to what was right, he was able to write down 12 more things that were going right in his life. By the end of this exercise of focusing on what's right, not what's wrong, Nicholas was then filled with peace, God's peace, God's joy, and he left the pastor's office with some happiness. Now think about it. None of his problems had changed, but his thinking changed. His focus changed. He shifted to focusing from what was wrong to focusing on what was right. And this is one of the key ways to praise God in your problems. If you have a bad day at work tomorrow, I want you to focus on what's right, not what's wrong. And you thank God that you have a job, because there are tons of people unemployed that would love to have your job. You thank God, I have a job. Your hair may be turning gray. You need to thank God your hair is not turning loose. At least you got hair to go gray. Thank you, Jesus. Focus on what's right, not what's wrong. If you're stuck in traffic, just think of all the people who can't afford cars. Oh, God, thank you, I have a car. Thank you, God. If you're struggling financially, you thank God that you have food in your stomach and a roof over your head. Because I tell you, go study the country of Venezuela right now. Because I read just this past week, in 2017, the average person in that country lost 24 pounds of weight because they can't afford food because the economy collapsed. Now stop and think about that. Imagine our country in America, everybody losing 24 pounds. Some of you are like, I'd like that. But they're losing weight because they can't afford food. That's why it's so good when we pray to thank God we even have food right now, because there are people in Venezuela right now that are begging God for food. We got to focus on what's right, not what's wrong. And when you praise God that way, I'm telling you, oh man, you're going to be able to let go of the negative, and you're going to be able to have more of God's peace. I tell you, when you come here on Sundays and you see those donuts out there in Starbucks, you need to go, woo, praise God. Free Starbucks, free food. Oh, God, thank you so much. I thought that was kind of funny, but all right. Whatever. 10 o'clock. Just kidding. So let's summarize, okay? So have you been allowing the negative, a little bit of negative, to come in here and there and stay in your mind a little too long? I think all of us can. Maybe you got a little bit of worry, a little bit of guilt, a little bit of resentment, a little bit of jealousy, a little bit of anger. God wants to help you empty out and let go of the negative toxic thoughts. So here's how we do it. This week, when your toxic thoughts come into your mind, start praying. You start lamenting to God. You start reviewing what's frustrating you. And then focus on a promise. Spend time with God. Get His word into your mind. Feed yourself God's word every day. And hold on to those promises. Think about them. Meditate on them. Let those promises replace your problems in your mind. And then be praising God, sometimes through confession, sometimes through singing, sometimes through celebrating, and sometimes through thanking God. You focus on what's right, not what's wrong. And I'm telling you, you do these three things, and in 2019, you know what's going to happen? When your negative thoughts arise, when mine arise, we're going to be emptying out the negative and allowing God to fill us with His peace, His joy, and His happiness. Can you say amen to that new hope? Amen, amen. Amen. So let's seal this to our hearts. Let's go ahead and bow our heads, and let's ask God to just seal this into our minds. So if you wouldn't mind, bow your heads with me at all of our locations, and let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your desire to help us empty out the negative and be filled with your thoughts. Lord, I thank you that you're a practical God, and you give us practical steps that we can take. And so, Lord, this week and beyond, throughout the year, when we start to have negative thoughts, help our first response to be to go to the throne instead of our phone, to talk to you. And Lord, thank you that you actually want us to share our complaints with you. And Lord, we know you don't want us to complain about you, but we can complain to you. And so may we be like the great saints, where we get good at lamenting to you, so that we can let go of the negative. And thank you, Father, as we process these things with you and your presence and with your power, you can shift our thinking to praying in faith, where we start to pray your promises. We start to think about your promises. Help us, Lord, to replace our negative thoughts with your promises. And God, I pray for every person hearing these words that you'd help us to spend more time with you. God, we're sitting at your feet talking story, allowing you to speak to us and encourage us through your written words. God, give us promises to hold on to this year. This is going to be a year of breakthrough for so many. God, thank you for the upcoming fast and prayer. Show us how you want us to fast and pray in that time period that we've allotted at the end of this month. And Lord, thank you that there's so much to praise you for and for teaching us how to praise you. Thank you, God. Help us empty out the negative. Fill us with the fruit of your Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. With everybody's heads bowed, if you've never invited Jesus into your life, I want to encourage you to do so by just praying a prayer. That's the first step to emptying out the negatives. You need to get God's Spirit in you. You do it by beginning a relationship with God through His Son, Jesus. So I'm going to lead you in a quick prayer. And if you pray this prayer, the Bible says that God's going to forgive you of all your guilt, shame, and regret. That'll help you empty out some negative. And then He'll put His Spirit in you, and that Spirit will help you to pray and hear the promises and praise God. So if that's you, pray this prayer with me at all of our locations. Church family, let's pray this with those who are going to pray this for the first time. Say these words with me out loud, everybody. Just say, Jesus Christ, I turn from my sins and I turn to you. Come into my heart. Fill me with your Spirit. Be my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Let's congratulate those who said yes to Jesus. Congratulations. So one of the best things for you to do is start coming to church if you're new here, and we'll help you grow as much as we can. And by the way, next Sunday, we're going to do part two of Let It Go. And some of you, as you're listening to this message, you're going, oh, man, I wish my coworker was here hearing this, or, man, I wish my family member was here. Well, if you have the chance this week, why don't you invite them and bring them with you next week? Maybe they'll be open to that. If they're not open to it, then send them a link of this message, and maybe that'll help speak to them in some way. But I think if you guys come next week and bring some friends, it'll be helpful to all of us. And so it's been helpful to me, and I hope this was helpful to you. So thank you guys for being so encouraging. Have a wonderful week. We'll see you guys next Sunday, okay? Bye-bye. My heart.